Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Canucks Central is for Ensign Pacific, Vancouver's premier Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep superstore on 2nd Avenue between Cambie and Main, or at ensignpacificchrysler.ca. We got a lot to get into. Missed shots, block shots, yellow jerseys, open nets, star players not performing. You name it, you got it at a game two between the Canucks and Nashville Predators, Sat.
Yeah, can't get in. Just could not get inside.
Couldn't get to the inside. The story. You know, that was maybe one of the weirdest games I've ever watched in my entire
life.
Yeah,
it was, very frustrating for Canucks fans, and it just seemed...
It felt very Seahawk-y at times.
Yeah, in some
just
ways
like weird things
weird
were
things
happening.
Would happen.
The way the puck would like bounce, it looks like it's going in. No, it's going to hit the post.
Yeah, it just wouldn't go in.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Remember when we had Patrick Galvin on after trade deadline? He's like, I tried to get in there. Nobody let me in. That was the Canucks last night.
The Nashville Predators use a game genie to put a brick wall in front of their net. Showing my age with that reference. All right, let's get to the open.
Welcome to the open.
Mark! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
It is the open where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks. And look, a game two loss 4-1. It's a tough one to swallow. I think the team and coach and players were all pretty confident that, you know, they did a lot of good things last night, and they're not too worried about it. This is just the natural ebbs and flows of a playoff series. They commended Nashville's commitment to blocking shots, but they're still pretty positive on where they're at in this series, despite losing game two. And they had two Nashville games, 3 and 4, Friday and Sunday. And I'm curious from your take, Sat, a day later, did game two change your idea of the series in any way? Did the game two loss change your idea of the series in any way?
Not really. Like, I mean, there's things I want to see the Canucks do better, individual players that need to do better, no doubt. But I don't feel any different about what the outcome of the series will be in Vancouver's favor. Now, are they going to do it in 5 games? Now, I don't know about that. You know, losing game two, it makes it harder to do that potentially. Maybe it does stretch into the 6, maybe 7 game territory even, if it does go that far. But I don't feel any different in terms of what happened last night and the Canucks' chances of being able to win this series. Like, I don't feel any worse about their odds of winning it today than I did yesterday on the pregame show.
So I think... maybe I just listened to too much of the people in the glass half empty category of Canucks Nation today in how last night played out. But if anything, last night makes me more confident in having the Canucks as my pick for the series. Was it a perfect game? Absolutely not. They lost 4-1. So can't be a perfect game. Not even close to a perfect game. But they dominated for much of the 60 minutes. And I know they gave up 3 goals. They were down 3-0 in the third, and score effects play a huge part in the way that that third period played out. But I look at that first period even, and to me, there was pretty much only one team on the ice. Yeah, the Canucks had the one breakdown, and it ends up in their net. Anthony Beauvillier, of course, revenge game for the former Canuck. We knew he was going to come up big. We called it here on the show that at some point Anthony Beauvillier is going to pop up in this series. And it just so happened to be in a first period where the Canucks pretty much dominated the Nashville Predators. You know, you want to talk about shot attempts. The Canucks had 84. Nashville had 6 in all situations. That includes their power play in the first period. They had 6 shot attempts in the entire 20-minute frame. And yes, Vancouver had 3 2-minute power plays, one that was, you know, towards the end of the first period and it continued into the second, but they had 24. That's a 24-6 difference. That's massive. And they ended up down 1-0 in that first period. So it wasn't just the third period where the Canucks were trying to climb back from a 3-goal deficit, well, at that time, a 2-goal deficit. it was a lot more than just the third period where the Canucks dominated. They didn't lose the game because their star netminder is out with an injury. They didn't lose the game because Nashville was that much better. If anything, Nashville was only better in big moments. That is it. And sometimes that's what you need to get it done in the playoffs. And you can get it done in one game like that. But if this game plays out 9 times out of 10, the Canucks are winning this game.
I agree to an extent. Like, I don't know. Honestly, so this topic kind of came up in the postgame show. Did they win this game 9 out of 10 times? And my take was maybe 7-8 times, because I don't think they were 9 out of 10 good.
Okay.
Like, I really don't. And especially on rewatching him, like, they were better than Nashville, no doubt.
I agree, but I think their biggest fault in the game was their execution more than anything else.
Fair. But also the second period, like, Nashville wrestled back control, and when they took the 2-0 lead, like, the crowd went quiet, the Canucks were really meek for a while, Nashville was tilting the ice in their favor pretty heavily, and DeSmith made a couple saves, right? And the next thing you know, you're down 3-0. So I do think in the second, Nashville, in really important stretches and maybe for the totality, was the better team. So to me, it wasn't like, hey, this was 60 minutes of a clear onslaught from the Canucks and hey, they got goalie, didn't go their way. But you're right about the first period. The only goal, they scored a goal on like the only chance they had in the first, and that chance came off Quinn Hughes blowing a tire behind his own net, Pettersson getting beat by Bevilier to the wall for the puck, and then also getting beat to the middle of the ice where Bevilier gets a stick on the Philip Forsberg shot, and Casey DeSmith is so amped up from the chance that he's ready to like slide all the way out of the arena with the way he's trying to go post to post. So that had to happen for them to even score their goal, and they had nothing else in that first period.
Yeah.
But the Canucks also, what epitomized their entire game was their inability of getting shots in. So Pugh Suter had that incredible chance. It was the 15:40 mark of the first period where the puck comes off the board, and Soros makes an incredible save. But if he gets it up like maybe a few more inches, that's in the goal, right? Yeah. Like that should have been a goal from
him. He tried to get it up, just didn't get up enough.
Not enough, right? But hey, it just didn't go his way. It's a hell of a save, but that should be a goal, right? That doesn't go in. And after that, Dan, they went 10 minutes without actually getting a shot on goal.
Yeah.
So they had all that pressure, but they went a whole 10 minutes without a single shot getting on goal. And the two shots that did get on goal at the end of the period, one was a Carson Soucy clear from his own zone where Soros came out to play it, which counted as a shot on goal.
Yeah.
And the other was a floater from the point by the ball wall that Soros easily pushed aside. Those are the only two shots that got on goal, and there was nothing at all of any consequence. So for that entire first, for as good as they were, there was the only quality shot they got on goal was a Suter chance. Pettersson missed the net on the great chance he had. They could not hit the net.
But that's, to me, that's something that is correctable. Like that's,
sure, yes.
You know, Pettersson, not only the missed chance at the end of the period, but also the chance that he gives up. He passes up to try the saucer pass that Garland has to, you know, swing at, try and bat it out of the air, and he went full Vladdy Guerrero Jr., can't hit a damn thing right now, and missed it. But if you're asking me, and I know this has been talked about over and over and over again, like, yeah, okay, you're looking for the sure goal, but you know what? When I have Elias Pettersson in a fantastic shooting position, I want Elias Pettersson shooting that puck more than pretty much anybody else on this roster, more than Brock Besser. Maybe the only other guy that comes into contention for that kind of conversation is JT Miller. But if I get one of those two players in a prime shooting position, shoot the puck. I don't need you passing that to Connor Garland. Shoot the puck.
Yeah, but also when they did shoot the puck, they missed the net a lot last night.
Or ran it right into a Predator's shin pad.
Or that, right? I mean, JT Miller had a great chance. He skied it. Pugh Suter had a great chance off the rush in the first. He skies it. The Besser bumper shot never got on goal on the power play.
There's the Joshua chance where he doesn't end up getting a shot on net.
No, I mean, that's later in the game too. And there was a lot of opportunities that they had that they just didn't get shots on goal. And I do agree that, a lot of it is correctable and there are things that they can adjust. And if they can tilt the ice in their favor when they push. And I do think when the Canucks go up a gear, Nashville doesn't keep up very well.
Yeah,
like, I think that's something the Canucks do have in their favor if they can do that. The third, they're up 3-0. There is some level of, hey, they're just going to try to, you know, keep you on the outside as much as possible, collapse on their net, and try to see this one out, right? And I think maybe they let that happen too much because they were under siege for the final 20 minutes. But that third probably plays out different if they're not up 3-0, right?
Yeah.
But I still do believe when we've seen the Canucks go up an extra gear, Nashville has a hard time really competing with them. They have to consistently keep that gear up, and for goodness sakes, get their shots to him. And you're right about Pettersson, too. We'll get to him in a second. I know he's like the elephant in the back of the room. We see the text coming in and everything. But there was a lot of bad decision-making by a lot of shooters.
Yes.
It's either gripping it too hard, like JT skying it, Suter skying it, number of guys skying it when they have clear looks. But also, why are you forcing the things through sometimes? You know what I mean? And the other part of it is, how often do you see guys double clutch before shooting the puck? And not just Pettersson. Like,
annoyed me.
It was like
no
every
end.
Single guy was double clutching. And it's like they got in their heads almost. So they tried to. But then as soon as you double clutch, you allow somebody to close out on you more.
Yes.
So they, like, as much as yes, you give Nashville credit, as yes, you didn't get quite as lucky, they also forced a lot of shots. I mean, you don't get that many shots blocked unless you also throw a lot of stupid shots.
Yeah.
And they also threw a lot of stupid shots. So there are a lot of things they have to clean up. But if they clean it up, I do agree, they should still be fine.
There was way too much of the, cocking the wrister and then trying to get it off. Hughes does that from time to time. Pettersson did it a lot last night. By the time he did, you know, that space, that shooting lane is gone. You got to eliminate that. Find more ways to get one-timers, because Nashville has been great at closing down, and they've changed some of their D-zone coverages in order to close up more of those shooting lanes and force the Canucks into some more of these blocked shots. But that's an adjustment they've made, and I do expect the Canucks to now adjust to some of what Nashville did in order to get this win yesterday.
One thing that I want to see them do a bit more, especially with how aggressive Nashville is with fronting them, is try to create the low to high play a bit more. That also means guys have to get a little bit deeper. And there was a couple times.
They definitely could get inside more.
They can get inside.
Especially in the third period, I thought they were at times getting so frustrated that they were just settling for outside shots.
Yeah, and a lot of guys stayed on the perimeter and then tried to push in a little bit, but it was kind of too late. But in terms of that, so you get some shots blocked. How many shots fell in the middle after getting blocked, and a Nashville guy jumped on it and cleared it?
Canucks should have position in a lot of those situations.
So I think that's part of it. You do that, some of those shots that get blocked, at least you can be there to collect them and get other secondary shots on goal. But I think you have to start generating some more low to high plays too.
Yeah.
Guys getting inside, getting down low a bit more, and that's going to cause a lot more. I think that causes Nashville to collapse down a bit more, and if you get the puck up, you should have more space to get shots on. You might still get some blocked, but I think staying on the perimeter and really focusing on the point men generating, and that's been something we talked about all year, but a lot of the offense shots yesterday came from the points again.
Yes.
Like, a lot of it was from the very top. You have to get those shots and those passes a lot lower instead of being as high as you were.
So I know a lot of people, like Rick Tocca was asked about it last night. There's been this discussion about fronting. Nashville is fronting in order to counter the Canucks and their heavy point shot offense in the offensive zone. What does that mean? Essentially, think of, let's say, a attacking player and a defensive player are in front of the opposing net. The defensive player will get in front of the attacking player to really force the block shot or get more into that shooting lane, rather than, you know, try to box that player out or get behind them in order to push them away from the goal. They're standing in front of that attacking player. But if you get that shot through and there is a rebound, let's say the puck gets through to the goalie, there's a rebound. If you're the attacking player, you should have body position. That Suter chance, it comes off the end boards. Why is he much more in position to get to that puck than a Nashville player? Because they're fronting. They're too far away from that. So he's first to get to that puck and gets that chance. There are ways for the Canucks to counteract what Nashville is doing to try and stop them from their heavy point shot offense.
Yeah, and a lot of it, honestly, like, you know, we talked about this a lot on the postgame show too last night. It's not very sustainable for Nashville to play that way. The question, though, is it's not sustainable for you to go on a long run, but is it sustainable for you to win another three games?
Yeah. And it's not.
I'm not sure it is, but like, now that they've won a game, there is a pathway for them to sacrifice their bodies and then be done for the second round.
Yes.
Right? Like, there is a way that goes, but it's very hard for them to. My point is, as much as yes, maybe they can do it another game or two, it's hard to do it for three more games, but that's not a sustainable brand of hockey for them to play.
It was reminiscent of the Canucks bubble experience versus the Vegas Golden Knights almost.
It was similar to it. Yeah. But I actually thought the Canucks the Canucks just had no push. At least Nashville has shown a little push in the first couple of games. Like, the Canucks had moments where Pettersson did some stuff against Vegas that year in the playoffs, but there wasn't a lot of the Canucks sustaining pressure in the offensive zone. At least Nashville's had a few shifts like that.
And it's one of the reasons they were able to build their lead in the second period, of course. Now, the elephant in the room. We're going to get more into game two adjustments and the goaltending stuff with Kevin Woodley for those that are ready to just pounce on Casey DeSmith as the reason for the game two loss, which I think is unfair. But
I don't know if he was great, but we'll talk to Kevin Woodley about it.
He wasn't great, but also I don't think he was the main culprit. If there is one player you are going to single out, it is number 40 for me.
The main culprit?
The main culprit.
Really? So and, did you have him in the crosshairs?
To Pedersen's credit...
He got the gun cocked, ready to go.
To Pedersen's credit, he took the blame himself last night.
Yeah.
Knowing that... Okay, so does any win or loss ever fall on one player? Generally not, no. But if there is one main character in the Canucks loss last night...
So he's the main... Is it the same as being the main character on X or like Twitter?
Yes. You know, every day there's a main character on Twitter. You don't want to be that guy. Yesterday, Pedersen was that guy. Pedersen's and we all can't character. Avoid it. All right. Right? He himself couldn't avoid it. Now, I know, you know, there is a lot to... discuss here, and people are saying, well, he's been bad for the last 3 months. Somebody on Twitter today said to me he's only scored one goal since he signed the contract. It was totally not true.
Well, I mean, people say stuff, and that's the thing I was pushing back on.
Yes,
because people say stuff and I push back on it, and people are like, why are you always defending Pedersen? I'm like, what?
Because you're saying things that are untrue.
What do you want me to do?
All I'm doing is correcting you with the truth.
I'm like, stick to the facts, and yes, it's fine.
That's it. That's all we want to do is stick to the facts here. Yeah. So sticking to the facts, Pedersen is the main character in last night's Canucks loss.
Yeah.
You know, I know you've pointed out, you were on Kipper and Bourne earlier today, and obviously on the postgame show last night, pointing out his play or lack of play on the first Nashville goal, not getting to that first puck, and then getting beat to the spot by Beauvillier, who tips the puck in for the first Nashville goal. He has the two chances in the first period, passes one up to Connor Garland. The other one just misses the net. He's got a wide open cage. And I know the time is ticking down, so you're kind of in a frantic moment, but you expect Elias Pettersson to be able to put that into the back of the net. There's other moments throughout the course of the game. There's a moment in the second period where he's got the puck in the high slot and he chooses to pass below the goal line to Ilya Mikheyev, and I'm just like, why are we doing this?
Anytime you can bypass a medium danger shot for a low danger shot, you have to take it.
To Ilya Mikheyev, who has one goal in 53 games or however many it is. That really bothered me as well. And then, of course, the third goal. And we talked about it after game one. There was a couple of moments where Pedersen just blindly threw the puck through the middle of the ice, and you're kind of like, what's happening here? And he did it again.
This time was costly,
right? So he factors in on, and he ends up being a -3 total, but he factors in on two of the Nashville goals against, and, you know, has the opportunity to get the Canucks on the board, especially in that first period. He scores that goal. It's 1-1. We're talking about a completely different game script going forward. I don't think there's one player on the Canucks who had a bigger chance to change the game story than Elias Pettersson did last night. That's all I'm saying about it.
Well, he was involved in so many critical moments of the game, right? Like two of the goals there. And listen, the first goal, it doesn't happen if Quinn Hughes doesn't blow a tire. And that entire, we haven't talked about it. You know, Patio texts in and says, can we please talk about Hoglander? He's been missing the first two games, right? But we can talk about him. But it's Hoglander. He's making $1.1 million. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's a rookie, first time in the playoffs, young player. My expectations weren't he's got to be a difference maker. But I understand the question. Quinn Hughes last night, I don't think it's been really discussed a lot in the market.
One of his tougher nights.
He wasn't great, especially the first period. That shift, that entire shift, I don't know what he was
doing. To be honest, as much as I was positive about the Canucks' overall game, I thought all of their top players had off nights.
Yeah, and I mean, somebody texted in.
Lesser degrees than Pedersen, but they all had tough nights.
Someone said, for all the hate 40s getting, where is six? He's been quiet. He did have maybe one of their best chances out of them, Pedersen, when he goes in alone on Saros. I think Miller fed the puck over to him, and Saros made a great save on him, but maybe should have scored, but nonetheless. So he had a great chance too, but not exactly a prominent presence. Pedersen was still the most prominent presence. Defensively, those are the things that are, whether you want to call them inexcusable, they can't happen. The turnover is one thing. And honestly, like if you watch the replay, he's the one who tips the puck into his own net too, right? So technically, he beats Beauvillier to the net, right? But then or Sissons to the net, but he's the one that scores. But nonetheless, you can't have that happen. And then you can't lose that 50-50 and then get beat by Beauvillier on the first goal, right? But he was still really involved offensively.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned he should have scored on the wide open net. He missed it, which also epitomizes his lack of confidence in many ways and how his struggles are going, that he rushed it and then missed it. Like, he would not miss that shot.
And the other problem with that is, and, you know, reading between the lines of what the coach said after the game, you know, there's a feeling that he let it snowball on him, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, don't, like... what was the term Andrew Burnett used after the first game? Be an etch-a-sketch or something
like
that.
Yeah, you just got to shake it off,
like,
man.
Shake it off.
Just got to shake
it off. Or be a goldfish.
Whatever
the old Ted Lasso saying, you can't let it carry over after you've made the big mistake.
Absolutely. And now if he scores that and, you know, they score on the Garland chance and the Canucks win, there's a completely different discussion about it. So it was there for him. He didn't seize it. And he has to seize it.
Yep.
And the thing is, I'm not excusing him. I'm saying he didn't have a good game. We criticized him last night. We can criticize him right now, too. But he wasn't invisible. He wasn't like he wasn't involved in the game. He wasn't there. He was there. But now you got to finish, man. Like, we're past the point of, hey, you're playing well. Your numbers are good. You're creating chances. It'll come. And maybe it will. But you don't have, you know, a lot of games for it to come. You know what I mean? Like, it has to, you have to deliver, and it's time to deliver. And last night was a tough game for him, especially confidence-wise. But there's no time for you to sit here and feel sorry for yourself.
No.
He's got to come out and be good in game three. And even if he doesn't score, do you help your team win?
Yeah.
That's what he has to do.
I think, you know, to the point of he wasn't invisible, I had a couple of people tweet me today that... Pettersson was irrelevant. I mean, he was the opposite of irrelevant last night. He was definitely very relevant in the game. So there was a lot to like about, well, not a lot to like, but there was, like, if you want to spin it and be glass half full about it, I think Pettersson, the idea that he's closer to breaking out rather than being further away, I thought he was in a lot more good positions last night.
Yeah, but I'm not predicting he's close anymore. Like, we've been talking about, he's been close. He's close. He's got games involved and hasn't come yet. You know what I mean? I think it's, I don't know. I hope it comes. You know what I mean? Like, again, I believe in the player long term.
Yes.
But it's you got to start scoring. How many conversations have we had since the All-Star break?
Too many.
Hey, he looks close. He looks close.
It's happened too many
times.
Like,
I'm not predicting anymore.
Canucks playoff coverage on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by All Seasons Roofing. Sun, rain, wind, or snow, All Seasons Roofing has you covered with end-to-end roofing surfaces. Surfaces. For your free quote, visit allseasonsroofing.ca. I don't know why I said surfaces instead of services. Anyways, All Seasons Roofing, the best place to be for your roofing surfaces. It's Dan Reed Show. Satyar Shah, you're listening to Canuck Central.
Hey, it's Jamie Dodd.
And Thomas Drantz.
Get your daily dose of Canucks talk with us weekdays from 12 to 2 on Sportsnet 650.
Or catch up on demand through your favorite podcast app.